Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
183. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How about yourself, Andy?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Indeed, indeed. So how have you been since last week? Where are we?
Same room.
Same room.
Minus a spider.
Well, we hope.
Well, you did vacuum...
Yes, I vacuumed him up, but I don't know, man. He might have just moved into that house down the street a little bit.
He might have siblings.
And
just,
yeah. And like now he's on disability. And
we're really sorry that we didn't get pictures. But like I said, my phone was in the other room.
Out of our hands. And he was big.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe next time. So, yeah, how you been?
I have been pretty well.
Good.
Just sort of house hunting, getting things squared. This weekend went down, saw my dad, my sister, nephews. But other than that, catching up on Game of Thrones, finally into the new season.
Nice.
First three episodes are already okay.
Yep.
Wow, this is speeding up to the end of the end.
Yes. Yes, it is. So house hunting, are primarily for the meat or trophy?
What?
Never mind. Are you trophy house hunting?
I just
put the mailbox above your fireplace.
Yeah. I just want to accumulate, numbers.
Yeah. There you go. Excellent. Excellent.
We were supposed to look at a house today.
Oh,
As in renting a house, folks, not buying.
Mm-hmm.
They never got back to us over a week. It's a split level duplex. So an upstairs and a downstairs as opposed to a side by side.
Okay.
Halfway between Admiral and Alaska Junction on California ish.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, not the high-end part of West Seattle, but still sort of easy shopping.
Right.
A little more walkable than this area.
Right.
And that would be nice to get, but we have looked at an apartment that is half a mile from here.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it's the nicest of the apartments we've seen, but Jen would much rather be in a... And I would too, a single dwelling,
detached
sort of thing.
No, I agree with you because, you know, should the house or whatever, should it have the correct room layout? You know, I mean, that's where the studio will probably end up landing. So I also would love for a detached dwelling.
Yes.
I know that we had issues with past neighbors while doing podcasts. Not terrible ones aside from the murder. Other than that, it was just like starting cars and shit like that. So,
yeah.
But you know, whatever, as long as you're close, I don't care. We'll figure it out.
Exactly.
So that sounds cool. For me, it was primarily my day job. I did a lot of code this week, like a lot of code.
Mm.
I watched some shows to sort of wind down from that whole thing. So I got all the way through Disjointed, which I think I talked a little bit about last week. Kathy Bates, very weird. It has a laugh track, but they say fuck, which is strange. It's so strange. I can't get over how strange it is.
So is it like Weeds with a soundtrack or is it
a laugh track? No, it's not like Weeds with a laugh track.
Laugh track.
It's very sitcom-y. It's
very
much like they own a pot shop and it's all the kind of silly stuff you'd associate with that. And it's got the low hanging sitcom jokes, but it's got jokes with a lot of subtext too. So it's really weird.
Huh.
It's weird. It's like, it's almost a parody of sitcoms,
mm-hmm.
which makes the laugh track ironic, which is really fucked up. I don't know, man. I like it. I mm-hmm. really like it. I still don't know how I feel about the laugh track. Still. Then we also finished, so we did finish Game of Thrones, but that was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We also finished The Good Place, and oh my God, that is, it's 13 episodes. Go watch it right now. Go binge it immediately.
Yeah. We watched the first one.
Yeah.
So far.
It's great. It's great.
Ted Danson back at his
best. His yeah. best. It is the best Ted Danson since Cheers, easily.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a huge Becker fan. It was okay. It was weird. It was like, I don't know. It felt like it was trying to be like a low rent Frasier, mm-hmm. kind of. I don't know. But
he was on one of the NCIS's. Or yeah, still is.
That's right.
Know.
That's right. This is fantastic dancing, though.
Yeah.
Fancy dancing, if you will. No, that's not cool. Can't tread on Sherman Alexie.
No. I also want to talk about, because I noticed that yeah. you have this.
Yes.
Atlanta.
Yes.
OMFG.
So it is a, Scott's computer's chiming in. I have it and have not watched it.
Maybe yet. I should figure out how to turn down the volume.
Maybe
on
you
this.
Should figure out how to turn down the volume.
Nope, that would be turning
that's,
up
oh,
the volume.
Hey, oh, there it is. You guys hear it? You guys
and
enjoying that?
There we go.
Okay.
Now it's muted.
It's a fresh install, so it's doing a bunch of shit.
Restart required. Well, go ahead.
You gotta tap it, dude. If you want to restart the thing, you gotta say, okay, it's time to restart because it's not busy hours or whatever. Or just restart it. Why do you have a Benetton ad in your notifications?
No clue.
Okay. It's not really a Benetton ad. It's just a diverse group of people, the type of which don't normally actually take photos together. Though hopefully more of that will happen.
Okay, is that my eyeballs or?
No, that's flickering.
Okay.
It probably updated the Intel graphics driver. So is it giving you the option to? No, there it is. So restart that sucker. Cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
You guys got to hear some triage.
Hey,
of,
look at that.
Of computies.
Sorry. Yeah. So
it's all good.
Atlanta. Mr.
So,
Glover.
Yeah. So I have not seen it yet, but I've heard amazing.
Oh, you things. Haven't seen it yet?
No, I have.
Oh,
it's one of those. Hmm. It's one of the. Okay. So here's the thing. I've heard it is funny, but it's not a comedy in any way.
Nope.
And it's just some of the best acting put forth on TV. So I'm really excited to see it. But it sounds heavy as shit.
It is and it isn't.
Okay.
The thing that I love about it is it's what's Glover's first name?
Donald.
So if you watch Parks and Rec, that's where you know him from. Probably.
You mean Community?
Oh yeah, Community. Sorry. And Troy and Abbott in the morning. He created, wrote, directed many of the episodes on this, but it's his creation, and is it real? It's a black perspective of the hip hop community and how it gets so blown out of proportion and is so unrealistic, and It is such a wonderful take and turns it on its ear. And then there's a couple episodes that are totally disjointed from the storyline. I really want to get your reaction to, like, it's either episode 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standalone thing
mm-hmm.
with its own advertisements and it's on a talk show.
I need to wrap up a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I need to wrap up. Oh, man. What do I need to wrap up? Well, I need to wrap up American Gods for sure.
Oh, yeah. I have to start that.
I need to wrap up Legion. I need to wrap up.
Hold it. Is Legion in season 2?
I'm still on season 1, but I think they got greenlit for a season 2.
Legion's the messed up mind one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't finished that yet?
No. See, I get... When I get home from work, all I want is shitty comedy.
Oh.
And I mean...
Okay, copy that.
Okay, so here's what's happened. Instead of watching good TV, what I do is I just push through more and more Futurama. I'll restart it. Now, they took away the first six seasons, so I can't do this anymore, so that's good. Or for some reason, I'll torture myself and push through an episode of Enterprise because I hate that show so much, but I want to get through it. But I need to do Legion. I need to finish the last two episodes of Luke Cage. God, I don't want to do this. I do not want to do this, but I need to push through Iron Fist so that I can start Defenders. I really don't want to do this.
I'll tell you, you don't need to push through Iron Fist to start Defenders.
I can just skip it?
You can skip it.
Good, because the first...
You know who he is. You know who Danny
Rand
is.
Yeah, I know
is.
Who Danny Rand is.
There you go.
I'm Danny Rand.
He's the same brooding little bitch that he is.
Here's my favorite part about that. My favorite part about that is if you have... Depending on what Netflix app you have, sometimes it does pre-roll when you land on something.
Yep.
And he says, I'm Danny Rand three times in their little blurb.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's like 50 times in the first episode. I cannot deal. So, anyway, I guess I am aware of who he is, so I should be good.
Yeah. I finished Defenders.
I need to finish Luke Cage because, like, important stuff happens in the last two episodes of that. I did finish, God, this is really bad. Daredevil Season 2, I've seen one episode of. So, no Punisher stuff. Really, and I need to finish that. I know I'd rather watch Luke Cage first, but and I'm pretty sure I need to see all of Daredevil Season 2 before the Defenders, or at least most of it.
No,
again, cool.
Again, Defenders starts as here's three people, there's a couple in jokes. To a point, you need to finish Defenders, finish Daredevil 2.
Okay.
Or you just start Defenders and go, oh, this is weird.
Okay.
But
that's fine.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
in
my opinion.
Yeah, it's just an overwhelming amount of TV just hit suddenly and so yeah. And then today, instead of picking one of those shows while I was bored and not bored so much as just didn't want to move. I'm very lazy.
Me too.
So instead, The Tick, the 2001 Tick, popped up on Amazon Prime. It's available now on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
So I started watching that again. And when it aired on Fox, I feel like it aired out of order because Fox. So I feel like watching it on Amazon is already giving me a more cohesive story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts with the bus stop episode, which I don't think was the first episode on Fox, because that's what they do with shows that they just Fox has oubliette scheduling.
Yes,
it's what you do with shows when you want to forget about them. So it's a lot more. It makes a lot more sense, and I was really shocked. I didn't really notice all of the. I mean, I was 25. I wasn't an idiot when it first came out, right? I should have noticed that it was all about gay rights and anti-conversion therapy and all this stuff, because that's what superheroes are the... That's, I mean, literally their relationships and everything. It's all about gay rights. They shut down a superhero conversion therapy hospital run by Dave Foley, stuff like that. So really, really awesome to see that. And to get it this time, and I guess not just watch it half-assed and go, well, I really like Flattermouth more than Batman. Well, I don't know why they changed it, because I didn't understand at the time why. When you're changing genres, it makes a ton of sense to completely redo everything. So, whatevs. Yeah, really, really funny. Definitely more cohesive and funny than the new one, in my opinion, currently. The new one's not bad. It's not bad. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Scott.
I have not seen it yet.
It's not bad. It's not great. Yeah. The terror, though, in the new one, a billion times better than the terror in the old live action Tick. The terror in the old live action Tick looked like Miracle Max or some shit. in the new Tick, perfect. Like, literally the perfect choice for the terror. I could not have imagined. I literally can't imagine a better live action terror. They beat my imagination with the actual casting. So, Jackie Earle Healy or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Just great.
Which reminds me, I need to shut off my Amazon Prime in the UK.
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
Or I'll keep getting charged for it.
So, Scott.
Andy.
What did you get for us here at a gas station?
Well, I went and got myself a pre-show Sprite.
Sprite.
And the wonderful gentleman 7-Up behind the counter handed me a multi-pack, single serving, pumpkin pie Kit Kat. And we have sampled some really different Kit Kats on this podcast.
So we're going to sample a pumpkin pie one today. Now, this is the first sugar I've had in a month, but I'm going to make up for it by going hard, no sugar for the rest of the day. So, all right, let's try this.
Let's.
Oh, my, that does taste like pumpkin pie.
Mmm.
Whoa. Oh, my God, that is so sweet.
This, well, yes, you haven't had sugar for a while. This could possibly be...
That is probably the most accurate Kit Kat flavor I think I've ever tasted. That,
oh, my God, the surface looked at me with my glasses and beard and recognized me. Yeah, that's the best pumpkin spiced anything...
So again,
pumpkin pie,
it's very, very sweet. And I have, I haven't had real sugar in. I've had, you know, sugar alcohol and fake sugar flavorings and stuff, but whoa, aside from the sweetness, once you get past the sweetness, that is probably, like I was saying, that is the most accurate flavored Kit Kat I've ever had. That was better than the sweet potato.
Yes.
In terms of accuracy and in terms of flavor. Mm-hmm. It tasted like a slice of pumpkin pie turned inside out.
Yeah. The crust was inside the creamy pumpkin-y filling.
Yeah. That was really good.
It was. I'm surprised and surprisingly surprised in a good surprising way.
Wow. The sweetness, though.
But, yeah, wow. Even for me, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just I haven't had sugar in a while sweet. It is American candy overly sweet, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that if that had come from Japan, it would probably have had the sugar dialed back about 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, it would have been...
More like the sweet potato.
It would have been a dead ringer for pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Because there's not that much sugar in pumpkin pie comparatively.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a dead ringer for it. Like, that's the only outstanding piece that wasn't quite pumpkin pie was it was too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Even the texture, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, it even had a I can't explain it, like, a pumpkin-y texture. That's, yeah, pumpkin pie Kit Kat, go get them. Those, Bart approved, I'm going to say. Yeah. Yep. Holy shit.
I will say thumbs up to that candy.
Wow. I'm going to be high all night.
Whee!
Unrelated to the Kit Kat. So, that was unfortunate. The other thing that happened this week that I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes.
I got a VR headset.
What?
I got a VR headset. And I should probably talk about the work I've been doing, the voice work I've been doing. I forgot to talk about that last week, but yeah, we'll get to that. The VR is more important. So I got a Vive. That's Vive with a V, not with a B.
And what is a Vive? Who makes Vive?
HTC makes Vive. The people.
Oh, okay.
People who make lots of cell phones.
Yes.
Like the Hero and the Epic and a bunch of other names I don't give a shit about. So, what it is? Okay. So there are three main players kind of in the VR headset space right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's the PlayStation VR headset, which is cheap, but only works with PlayStation, right?
Okay.
Which is fine. I mean, it honestly, like, it seems like that might be a better market ultimately than PC-based VR because mm-hmm. all you need to play, it's a PlayStation. There's no question about what the hardware is going to be like, blah, blah, blah. But what it misses is Steam. You don't have, like, games have to be made for PlayStation VR to play on it. There's not a lot of sort of experimental anything. Steam and HTC and Oculus, and they have a lot of workshop stuff. Mm-hmm. So people experiment with it, which is how, like, Justin Roiland's accounting game came out, which I hope to be able to review next week.
Accounting game?
It's Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty, so I am very excited. Okay. It's either going to be amazingly boring on purpose, or it's going to be completely mind-fucking, which is what I'm hoping for. Either way, it should be a fun experience to talk about next week. So, got that.
You said there were three players, Sony for PlayStation.
For PlayStation, then there's the HTC Vive, and then there's the Oculus Rift. Now,
well, what about Samsung? They seem to be quite a heavy...
They're doing it all mobile, though. It's all phone-based.
Oh, okay.
So there's not really... I'm sure they will get a dedicated headset eventually. Microsoft is a... How do I explain this? Microsoft isn't a direct player. Microsoft is an AR player. So they're kind of sitting on the outside with a completely different approach.
And AR is augmented reality.
But I believe that the HoloLens headset can be fully VR as well.
Mm-hmm.
It just paints the entire display instead of parts of it. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that's the case. And future headsets, I imagine, will be sort of switchable in that sense. What's really cool is as we get more and more flexible and easy to use HUD style display technology where you can see through the display when it's not being activated and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff's going to get crazy because I think augmented reality is almost assuredly always going to be... It's better to have the toolkit to allow it, which all of the augmented headsets will have.
Right.
In addition to fully immersive VR versus not having it, which the current VR headsets don't allow augmented reality. It's pretty much just you see what's rendered on the little cameras in the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So... It'll be interesting to see. I have high hopes for HoloLens and for that type of technology. But as it stands right now, the three main players are Oculus, Vive, and PlayStation VR.
I gotcha.
So I was going to get a PlayStation VR, or I was thinking about a PlayStation VR. I don't like the Move controllers, which are the controllers that you use with it. It is nice that it's the headset and the Move controllers and nothing else. The Vive has little base stations that go all around. Hooking this thing up is a fucking pain. It is... There are five power outlets you have to... Or five power adapters you have to deal with. Two of them are just for charging, so there are three permanently connected power adapters you have to deal with while you're playing. It goes into a breakout box, which then goes into your PC instead of just going directly into your PC, but I think that's to do with power... I don't know. It's weird. One thing I don't like about any of the VR options right now is they don't allow any fine-tuning adjustment of focus. So you adjust the fit of the mask to make it focus, which means if your head has any weird shape, which apparently mine does have a slight weird shape, some part of the field of view is always out of focus.
Hmm.
Because, you know, your nose bumps it wrong or something, and it just you can't get it fully in focus. But it doesn't really take away from it. Once you're in it, it's kind of like a magic eye situation where the more you look at it, the more you relax around it, and it becomes like less, the seams become less apparent. So the Oculus is, from what I've heard, a fairly decent choice. Unfortunately, the Oculus is one owned by Facebook, which is...
What?
Yeah, so it's a problem. I'm pretty sure it's owned by Facebook. I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure Facebook owns it. If Google had bought Oculus would be the shit. Like it would be mm-hmm. on the road to being the biggest and best thing. And that's not saying that I love Google. I'm just saying they have the resources and the motivation to do it.
Right.
How do you use an Oculus to take people's information? Because that's all Facebook cares about. I mean, like literally there's a email from 2004 where someone was talking to Mark Zuckerberg for real. And he's like, it's like, how do you get people to give, you know, to give you their other info? And he's like, these fucking idiots just do it. So, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure Google's about getting your information too, but Google is also helmed by a bunch of people who really, really, really want Star Trek to happen. So, like, I get it, you know. Speaking of Star Trek, by the way, for VR, Star Trek Bridge Simulator, I haven't bought it yet, but I am on the cusp of buying it as I'm going to burn through all the free apps pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Once I burn through all the free apps, I'm going to start thinking like, okay, I'm going to buy, you know, the Rick and Morty VR game or Star Trek VR. Let's try it. I did buy Rez. And if you don't know what that is, there was a PS1 game called Rez where it's kind of interesting. In Japan, it was sold with a vibrator so that your girlfriend could have fun while you were playing the game. Like, that's what the box said. And basically, it was called the Trance Vibrator. And you could, if the more rhythmically you shot down the enemies, the more intensity the vibrator would have and stuff like that. Bizarre stuff. The game itself is fucking fantastic, though. So the game itself is this weird, almost vector graphics style. Well, not almost. It's vector graphics with some painted graphics, like some, very few. And you're a floating, like, you start off as just a floating sort of block-based humanoid-looking thing, but as you proceed, you become more detailed and you get more, like, organs or whatever. And it's almost like a shooting game in that you... Well, it's what it's really like is Panzer Dragoon, which is weird when I'm talking about a rhythm game with music and all this stuff. But Panzer Dragoon on the Sega Saturn is the closest thing I can think of where you hold in a trigger and then you move the cursor across enemies and it locks onto them. And then you release the trigger and you fire. You fire projectiles and blow them up. The thing is, if you do it in time with the music, they blow up in a way that adds to the whole auditory thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Rez, Amplitude, and Frequency all kind of have the same play style.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. But it has a VR mode. So I played it in VR. And it went from being... From being a game, a challenging game, to literally being a relaxing experience because it is so easy in VR to hit everything. I mean, I 99.99% of the enemies killed.
Wow.
I everything was in the high 90s, mm-hmm. whereas with a controller... like a Xbox controller or Xbox is the only one I've used on it. So like if I use an Xbox controller, we're talking 70% maybe on the first level. So it becomes much more relaxing and engaging in VR, which is really kind of cool.
Nice.
So I'm excited to look into a little more of this and maybe we'll do a Bard's VR thing. Once I figure out how to do that, where we can maybe record some stuff and share it with you guys. But for now, I'll just let you know how I feel about games that I've played.
Cool.
Yeah. So anything else going on with you, Scott, that's interesting?
No. I am on Friday late. I got notified and I'll just keep it in a general swath until something becomes more specific, but a Seattle area movie related individual movie as a occupation
film, so film, a Seattle film person
contacted me on a website.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Friday before the long weekend, mm-hmm. so I haven't heard anything back. And I got the notification late, of course, because my phone doesn't tell me that I've got shit. Have I said I need to get a new phone? And then Andy showed me yet another one to enter into the mix of awesome candy bar-like phones, or as we used to call them, the Nokia, the new Nokia handset. Looks to be the Nokia 8. Pretty nice.
Yeah.
So now I don't know if I'm going to wait until Black Friday for some super deep discounts and go for one of the three or four that we've been looking at, or what. Came closer to getting my Fossil watch. But we were at the outlet malls in Woodinville in Oregon, and the second generation was exactly the same price as I could order it online, and they didn't even have a path to get the third generation, which is the new one that just released mid-August.
This is the Fossil watch?
Yeah, it's a Fossil Q. It's a digital...
I'm having some trouble following the threads here, so...
It's a digital wristwatch.
Got it.
Android Wear.
Okay, got it.
So it will be able to tie into the phone.
The phone that you get eventually.
But it has a digital face, so I can have, you know, if I go out, I can have a nice three-dial, you know...
Chronometer style.
And if I'm working out, I can flip it over into digital and nice... metal bracelet. It looks like a watch, but is they fixed all the stuff that was gobbledygook in the first two iterations. But outside of the Tag Heuer, which I really wish I could have, but I don't have a $1,500 disposable money burning a hole in my pocket to buy that. So I won't be getting that, but the Fossil is... at least attainable, and you don't need the phone to make it work.
Well, that's cool.
You can still get the apps, and it's got GPS and NFC and all of that built right into the watch.
Nice. You can pay with your watch.
Yep.
That's excellent.
Yep.
I might look into that, too. I don't really like
it. It's got a microphone, and I mean, you can. It's literally the Dick Tracy watch we've all been waiting for.
Well, it's got a laser?
Probably.
Well, that would be James Bond, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Dick Tracy just had the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
comes with sharks, though.
Yeah, well, so additionally, one of the things that I've been doing, and it's the only voice recording I've been doing essentially since back in the Mariners time frame in January, February, I've been getting a lot of these parts for this thing called Rapids.amazon.com. And it's a reading program for children on the Kindle.
What?
So, yeah. So we read these simple stories and we have to read them very slowly because you have to illuminate a word as you are reading. So you have to kind of go at a very unnatural pace. That being said, it's $50 a pop, and I've done 9, and I'm probably going to do another, you know, a lot, I guess. They keep bringing me back, so I'll take it.
Nice. Now, do you go there so someone can coach you on the timing?
Yeah, so it's Pure Audio in Seattle, which is on First, just off of Denny, or I guess it's between Eagle. Is that a street down there? I think it's between Eagle and something else. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Pure Audio. They're very fast, though. Like, we'll bust through one in 15 minutes. And they schedule 15-minute blocks. So you go in, it's between 7 and 13 pages of dialogue for between 1 and 5 people. So they get knocked out very quickly. Generally, instead of doing 5 people, you'll get some person doing 2 voices in a story so that they can keep the group small.
Okay.
And it's like donating blood. You get $50 a pop. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's cool. On Friday, when I went in to do I was just doing 3 more minor ones in the afternoon. I met a guy from the Illumani Men's Choral.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve Wolbrecht's choral group.
Yeah.
There was a guy there who was in that, who I filmed back during Journey Quest 2 for the BTS stuff.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. Like when I do projects that aren't at Bad Animals or Clatter and Din, I almost never see people I know.
Right.
So this is the first time I saw someone I knew outside of Bad Animals or Clatter and Din for, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's that. Scott, you have something kind of new coming up on that front, right? Like that will be released soon, maybe?
Oh, yes, a couple things. A friend of mine has cut a new video reel for me. We're still finalizing that a little bit. Miss Gina Lockhart actually approached me and said, I want to show you what I see you do in film and stuff. And so I was like, great. It would be great to have a disinterested third party see what is good. And I showed it to Andy and she's picked out some really good stuff and it works really well. Need to take some of the air out of it, and she agreed with that. So we're looking at that. And then Mr. Todd Downing helped me put together a really fun voice reel. So I finally have a voice reel put together.
Finally. And jeez.
We didn't record anything. I happen to have had my entire C drive backed up on a Seagate.
Yeah.
Brought it with me. And so we just went through and started looking at all the auditions that I've had before.
Nice.
And then we went and picked out soundscapes, either environmental or some musical soundtracks to lay under the audition pieces. And boom, in less than an hour, we had the whole thing done. So got a couple notes on that, and we'll see about tweaking that a bit. And then those will be ready for general consumption.
Now, people will be able to find those probably linked on a website like, I don't know, twobards.com maybe when they come up?
Yeah, probably on cool. twobards.com, scottcbrown.actor.
There we go.
Probably put it on Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah. They will be available.
Right.
And after, of course, I get them available to Melissa so that she can start sending me out on auditions.
Yep. Which you should, as soon as you get the reels done, you should just be able to log in and add them to your profile. Okay, do you pay for your profile on the Big Fish thing, or do you just use
no.
the free? Me neither. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No, I have a website. That's what I pay for.
Yep.
And I am not. And to be honest, Big Fish is like, don't. We have to list you there. So pay your whatever yearly fee it is to get your listing on there and then be done with it. And
yep,
better than the old agency that I was with, whose letters will remain not uttered by myself, but anyone else can chime in and say them.
No, I'm good.
Hey,
your current agent used to be with them too.
Yeah. That whole thing was problematic. But this one much better. And we'll see.
Cool. All right. Well, we should I guess we have some answers to the Bardic question of the week.
Awesome.
Which was, what was your introduction to the pornographies?
Yes.
So we should do that and then ask the new question, which I've got a good one, unless you have one.
I don't. You're cranking out the good questions, cool. So I'm gonna leave you on a roll until you can't roll no mo.
Sweet. So let's start with some answers here.
Okay.
So Rob McLennan's answer to the question was Dad's 70s Playboys. Yeah, I remember those. I think everybody, well, I didn't have Dad's 70s Playboys. I had my brother's 70s Playboys. And then I had my friend's stepdad's 70s Playboys, which were the kind of the thing. That's I don't know, man. I'm not going to put a number on it, but I've seen a fair share of pubic hair in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the real world stuff, even when let to grow completely, is nothing like what was in a 70s Playboy. So they had to have volumized that or merkined it up or something.
Yes.
Because yes, I think thickness, that like
pelt like quality.
It mossy, like miniature decoration style, thick, intertwined, spongy looking. It doesn't seem natural.
No.
Looking back. And it's not like it doesn't seem natural because I'm into, you know, oh, I got to shave it. No. I'm saying natural pubic hair does not look like what was in those magazines.
Yeah.
Nothing looks like what was in those magazines that grows on a human.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird. But then you look at at the regular hair in the late 70s and early 80s and stuff, and it was huge.
Yeah.
Like on the men and the women. Just ginormous, voluminous, massive hair. So
the Farrah Fawcett feather.
Yeah, feather. The glam cam lenses and all that shit. Weird times.
Yeah. My dad did not have, I had no familial access to those. My at the time best friend's dad used to have them in the bathroom of his company, at least in the men's room of the company. Which is usually where we got them. Or, gosh, Dad, I hope you're not listening. Boy Scout trips were another, really good place to get the
that one
the
kid. Kid would bring them.
Yep.
And you'd trade your candy for it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or let him have your fucking camp bake. That one, you know, it's like, here you go. Here's my potatoes and hamburger. Go nuts. Yep. Thanks.
Here's dinner. Extra helping.
Yep. So Douglas Michael replies, similar to Scott, only about a decade earlier, UHF Channel 63 broadcasting somewhere out of the Pine Barrens in Jersey. That's the Pine Barrens, the place, not your Hearst grower of trees for paper. Would scramble their signal during the day, but for some reason reduce the interference at night until you could watch clearly, only there wasn't any audio. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until about 5 years later, when I saw some of a college friend's large collection of Super 8 movies, that I found out that porn movies actually had cheesy dialogue. And sometimes genitals.
Yeah.
The scrambled TV thing was interesting. Seattle has a unique history with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because over-the-air public broadcast in Seattle up until the early 2000s, I think. I don't know when it started. But up until about the early 2000s, there was this classy dude who would broadcast porn named Mike Hunt.
Yep.
Yeah. No, for real. I'm sure that wasn't his actual name, but that's what he broadcast under. And constant legal battles, but the First Amendment, he said, protected it, and they went through all this stuff, and it was insane. But there was over-the-air, unscrambled porn broadcast in Seattle for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. You could V-chip or whatever, I suppose. I guess. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't, I mean, back then, we didn't have the internet, so you couldn't share with it. You had to know somebody who knew which channel it was.
Right, right.
So, like, when I'd visit my grandparents, I didn't have any friends up here, so no one could tell me what the channel was.
Yeah.
Well,
boy.
But, yeah, that I remember all about him.
And I think it was called Free Speech or something like that, the Free Speech Network with Mike Hunt.
Yep.
Oh my God. So, yeah, we didn't have to deal with the scrambling so much, but Jesus. Casey Lee responds, Caligula was my intro, buddy. That is not porn. And if that's what you think porn is, we need to get you to a therapist. To answer the question of the week, my aunt was watching it. So there's like a bunch of stuff terrifying about that answer, Casey.
Yes.
Caligula is, I'd almost call it a pornographic horror, or a
histroporno.
But yeah, I mean, I know Penthouse put it out, yes. Right? Like Penthouse Video, yes, was the company that put it out.
And it had a no rating. It was released, yeah, as a porno movie.
Yes. Agreed. It is not erotic. There's
no,
it is
not well done.
It's terrifying. And, was that McDowell that was in that?
Yep.
Oh my God. Peter O'Toole, I think, with pox all over his face.
Yeah. There were a number of people clamoring to be in the, and I just remember the opening sequence, penis, yeah, as all the naked Roman guards were lining the city.
Yeah. Who directed that? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Pardon my typing, because it wasn't like Fellini or anything like that.
It wasn't Fellini, but it was a top line.
I think it was Italian, whoever it was. Yep. Peter O'Toole was in it. It was written by Gore Vidal.
Yes.
Bob Guccione.
Which is Penthouse.
Right. Bob Guccione. Tinto Brass did principal photography, and then Giancarlo Lui did, so very Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Very Italian. Pretty sure if I remember right, there's a horse rape scene in it. There's a guy who gets Crisco fisted, for lack of a more polite way to say it.
Yeah, there's the guy who is forced to drink wine upon gallon upon gallon of wine, and then they
tied his dick off so he couldn't piss, and then split his stomach open, his bladder open through his stomach.
Yeah. And that was,
oh,
you couldn't tell if it was wine or if it was blood. But either way, it was copious amounts of it.
They slit his throat too after that.
Yeah.
There was like chains of thorn vines and stuff, mm-hmm, that were drugged through women's crotches, and like,
oh yeah, it was,
it was, ew, I, yeah, like, I wouldn't call it a porno.
No, but there's a doc. I think there's a documentary about the making of.
Helen Mirren's in it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, everybody who was anybody wanted to be in that. It was cutting edge.
I'll tell you, that is a thing. It was,
and if you haven't watched it, mm-hmm, just for the sake of edification, and if you're at all interested, it doesn't hold up.
No,
it is at best a C movie.
Yeah.
But I encourage you to watch it, because it is rather interesting, and they did do some really amazing conceptual things.
Right. Well, and the sets are fucking crazy. There is an R-rated version. So there's, mm-hmm, a blue cover and a red cover. And it's weird, because I think the red cover is the R-rated version and the blue cover is
the original. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and the reason I know this is because when I was a kid, well, not a kid, I mean, I was like late teens.
Mm-hmm.
I was a massive movie buff. I fucking loved movies. And my all-time favorite movie at the time, and maybe still in a weird way, is A Clockwork Orange. Mm-hmm. I think A Clockwork Orange is masterfully filmed. It is intriguing. It is psychotic. It is everything that literature being translated to film needs to be.
Yep.
So I'm sure that Anthony Burgess hated it, because all authors hate it when a good adaptation happens to their book. So I got into Malcolm McDowell. He had just come out with, or he just starred in Tank Girl at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking loved him there. So I got a Columbia House thing where you'd lick the stamps.
Like, oh, yeah.
Back in the day when you'd lick the stamps to order the movies. And I ordered every Malcolm McDowell movie I could find.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up ordering the blue covered Caligula. So that was interesting. That was a shocking moment.
Well, the red cover has got to be about a 30-minute video then.
I think they filmed extra footage and they padded it. Like kind of like how you film the extra stuff for airline cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. Yeah, that's wow, Casey, coming out of the gate with Caligula. That's an interesting one. So your Bardic question this week to ponder on, to poser, and this is just because Scott brought candy. What is the best and worst Halloween candy? No toothbrushes. We want the candy, so like actual candy. So I'd say stuff like raisins and fresh apples and stuff like that, or apples with razor blades, whatever. Out. We're talking candy.
Candy.
What is the best and worst Halloween candies? Which, for me, the best was always actually Kit Kat. That was my all-time favorite. I like Snickers, too. When you know, in full bar, anything kind of wins, even if you don't... Like, I think I got a full bar Hershey's Special Dark once, which I do not care for at all. But that was the best thing in my bag. I was super happy to get it because it was a full bar. So you eat it and you're like, this is gross. I don't care. Full bar. No, oh, so good.
I've got a lot of it.
Oh, God. Oh, it's like coffee. And then for me, hands down, my worst is black licorice anything by like leaps and bounds. This is the worst fucking candy.
Yep.
But if you want a traditional Halloween candy, candy corn is pretty fucking terrible too.
I can top the candy corn.
Do it.
The little pumpkins.
The candy corn pumpkins,
That are made of the candy corn, but they don't even have the sweetness and the tri flavorings.
Yeah.
It's just like candy paste.
It's the size, too. The size, because there's something about the size of the pumpkins where the middle never quite solidifies.
Yep.
Or something. You're right. You're right. The candy pumpkins are worse. They're worse than circus peanuts, dude.
Oh, wow. Now you're bringing back. So how many? Give a thumbs up if you remember what a circus peanut is.
Oh, God. They still sell them.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. You know what I miss is, this isn't going to date me so much as class me here. When we would do the back to school trip to Kmart,
mm-hmm.
where we would put everything on layaway. So that would happen in March or April. So nothing would fit by the time we'd get the layaway out and whatever.
Right.
Or when we would go in August to do the Christmas layaway.
Yeah.
Because everything had to be bought on layaway. Kmart had these little round candies. And they used to come in a bunch of flavors. Now you can only find them in mint. But they used to come in a bunch of flavors. They look like a little round, almost Christmas ornament-y looking candy. And they just dissolved in your mouth.
We're not talking Necco wafers, are we?
We're not talking Necco wafers.
Okay.
Not at all. They had two basic flavors that I remember. Mint was one, and then fruit-ish. Some fruity flavor that was indistinct.
So melt in your mouth like a communion wafer?
Like juicy fruit. Like, yeah, kind of. They would just... They'd melt, and they had a little bit of like you could crunch them if you wanted, but it had like a honeycomb structure inside.
Yeah, they were like meringue.
Yeah, meringue substrate. Kind of, yeah,
honeycomb thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were perfectly round, and they didn't have any of that meringue flavor to them. There was nothing but sugar flavor, so kind of a juicy fruit style fruit flavor ball thing. Those were amazing. Then they went. Then they only did them in mint, and I hate mint, so I stopped trying them. But, yeah, I remember those being fantastic. Those were so good.
I don't like much mint, but spearmint specifically.
Yeah.
I like. And then candy canes.
Yeah, well, candy canes are the exception, and I don't know if it's just the actual physical shape of them that causes my brain to short circuit and say, that's fine, eat that. Candy canes are the exception. I do eat mint candy canes without any problem.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like the green and the chocolate ones, essentially. I hate those.
Oh, yeah.
Hate chocolate and mint together. Hate it. Worst ice cream. Worst. I go out and I fucking kill grasshoppers in the summer just because there's a cookie named after them that tastes like shit. So I do not like chocolate and mint. And I normally don't like mint. I like it. It's the worst part of brushing my teeth. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I have to do mint. Blah. But candy canes get a pass, and I don't know why.
Can I do like Colgate cinnamon.
Yeah, I don't like cinnamon even more.
Wow.
Cinnamon. So my mom was a smoker.
Oh, okay.
And that cinnamon to cover the smell of smoke thing that for some reason smokers think works, which doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't work. If you're a smoker and you think your cinnamon toothpaste is covering anything, it's not. You just have jerky cinnamon breath, okay? It's not helping. But yeah, I wish they still had the thing is, there's no good flavor of toothpaste that has survived ever, because I've had good flavors of toothpaste when I was a kid. They had like orange vanilla, or they had grape, or they had, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then the ones that survive are mint, cinnamon, and bubblegum. The mm-hmm. worst three possible flavors. So.
Oh, I've got one for you to try, and you can get it at the dollar store. So it won't cost you an arm and a leg. AIM.
It'll cost me a dollar. AIM. I remember AIM. What does it taste like?
Still make it.
Wow.
It's very green,
mm-hmm.
Almost a nuclear dark green, like your Hydro Flask green.
Okay, got it.
Blue green like that. And it's mint-ish,
mm-hmm.
but it's not mint.
Got it.
It is, AIM is a flavor in and of itself.
Hmm.
And I had the same problem as a kid, mint. Toothpaste was just,
it would burn, yeah.
It was too much.
And you can't drink any water for like 2 hours, or it's.
Yeah, or, oh, God forbid you have orange juice.
Oh, Jesus.
Curdles right there in your mouth. But AIM, yeah.
Yep.
I will seek out AIM and bring you some AIM. My AIM will be to bring you AIM.
Well, make, yes. Well, steady your AIM. Right into my mouth.
Just Corey AIM.
AIM into my mouth.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Maybe not. So, what is your most favorite and least favorite Halloween candy?
Candy.
Cool. So, we only have one question this week. Get on it, people. And it is from Rob McLennan, who asks, so, what are the Bard's plans for the recent future? Huh? Okay.
The
near future. Got anything on the burners? Well, there's some egg I spilled. I'll get that off. But
cheese never comes off.
Oh, it does. You have to burn it off.
Burn it off.
You have to let it, and it is the worst. It's like, it's not napalm, but it's not napalm. You know what I mean?
It lingers.
It's really bad. Recent future, near future. Well, I've got my. Still can't talk about it. Film project. We're getting much closer to the point where I can talk about it, though, in that we might have some funding, which was the piece holding us back from going public. We'll know more stuff in the next couple of weeks. I know that I want to start filming some sketches.
Yep.
With Scott. And I'm sure Scott has some stuff he wants to do. So let's go to that.
Oh, I'm sure that I do. I don't have anything written.
Right.
I can't write. But I am 100% in the, we need to start doing something. I don't care what it is.
You're a bard that can't write.
That's
wait,
right.
Oh, just think about that for a second.
I know. All you right. can't sing either.
Oh.
I'm.
But he can dance,
two out of three
folks.
Ain't bad.
He can dance.
So yeah, it's just more a matter of being consistently in the same area.
Mm-hmm. Which is already helping.
Which is, we're coming together.
We are. Coalescing.
Coalescing.
Coamoring.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh. Yeah.
Coalesces Coa Moore.
Yeah.
Corey Moore? We were doing something with Corey Moore? Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows? Corey Moore, if you're listening and you have any parts that you think we'd be good for or you need any help filming, let us know.
Yes.
So, yes, there is stuff in the near future. There may be some stuff in your neck of the woods, Rob. I don't have anything solid on that, but there may be stuff in your neck of the woods as well. So we'll talk about that a bit later.
Wow.
What's up?
That's new to me.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been talking to a specific person who apparently only you and I
thank goodness
like it all. Well, like,
see what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
Thank goodness.
Who has also been talking to Nicholas Brendan quite a bit. Who?
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So it's there's a chance. There's a chance. But no matter what, we are going to start filming more of our own stuff.
Yes.
And even filming this type of stuff for you, so that you can watch us flail about.
Or dance in front of the microphone while we're waiting to go to the bathroom and not knowing whether I should go or whether I should wait it out.
Well, let's go ahead. We're almost out of time anyway, or we're almost out of content. So let's go ahead and get through this and get you to the bathroom.
Hey,
without any further ado, thanks to our Patreon patrons, Hawk Robinson,
Leslie Sedlak,
Rob McLennan,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
James Peters,
Gordon D. Duke,
Digby Davis LLC,
Justin Everett,
Dougie Sharp,
Todd McKimmy,
Amanda Cook,
Lotta Jerk,
Tom Brophy,
Laura Adams,
James Herbert,
Adam Morin,
Tim Martin,
Paula Moran,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
Rifle Guy.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to help Scott go to the bathroom, come on over. I'm sure I'll let you hold it.
Totally.